Sup, Beast Place, August 25th, 2020. I just keep having these inspirations today. So when I have these little things pop in my mind, I just want to get them on paper. And it just popped into my paper on recording, on in digital. Put it down on wax. This one is, we do windows. I flew Hueys, and we had a I remember at a lieutenant colonel was like, we do windows. And I'm like, we're a utility helicopter. We fly almost every mission the air has except for like fueling related. But he's like, no, Nick, we do windows. Let me tell you what happened. He tells a story about a lieutenant colonel. This lieutenant colonel, because like, remember I talked about sort of like the Cobra racism against Huey. I use that word kind of like to be a little funny too. Like, so it's not, they weren't actually racist. They were just discriminated against Huey pilots. They always looked at us as the fat little sister, the plane that can't, because we didn't have guided munitions, even though we were the ones that tested them. And this was intentional. They did this, like, they took them from us, and then made fun of us for not having. And so they were like, you guys can't carry any weight, and you need an extra fuel tank to go to. We're just, the aircrafts really weren't compatible. Although they needed us once they encountered the Iraqi tactic of let them fly by and shoot them in the back. They're quite vulnerable to that, and we are not. Anyway, this lieutenant colonel shows up, and some general's like, hey, man, I need you to take me, and we're going to do command and control, which is like Huey pilots despise. Because command and control of the Huey pilot means one of several things. One, I'm going to fly a circle over one place at a high altitude, not the safest, all while a guy in the back is confused and is trying to use radios. Two, it could be I end up actually commanding the mission, which I may or may not be ready to do. And three, I'm going to be flying some dude around and it's just boring. I'm not going to get to shoot, so I'm bored, even if I get to like kind of fly around the battle space. And so this lieutenant colonel told some general, like, we don't do that. We're here. We're attack aircraft. Because he wanted to be like you get this like inferiority complex I never had to these Cobra pilots. I always saw them as a-holes. So I never was like, oh, I want to be like the a-hole. I was more like, I don't want to be like you, bro. Anyway, moving on. So he got sent home from the war for that. The general got, because the Marines are weird. They can be real touchy and not very understanding of each other and quick to smash down another Marine. As soon as you get out, you suddenly become super helpful, and it's true. Like, I get more Band of Brothers feeling from guys that I do jiu-jitsu with that were Marines than I did at the time with some of my Cobra pilot compatriots. And some of that was just personality problems. And again, taking ownership, I was an a-hole to them. So you can't expect someone to like you or be friends with you when you're being a jerk. You don't like them, and you make it obvious. That's my fault. I didn't have to do that, but I did. Why? Because I'm an a-hole. I'm less of one now, but I'm still an a-hole, and I'm working on it. I'm still an a-hole, and I was an a-hole then, and I got a-hole results. Okay, in fact, I probably, like, got better results than I should have. Anyway, that's not what this is about. It's about We Do Window. So they sent him home. Like, what? That's terrible. He's like, yeah, you don't want to be that guy. And this is a lieutenant colonel telling a story from, I think he was a major. Because by now, let me set this. It's 2005. We're on what's called a MU float, which is basically we hop on a thing that looks like an aircraft carrier. It's actually called an amphib, carries all kinds of other stuff, tanks. I've talked about this before. Hovercrafts, landing crafts, armored cars, tracked armored vehicles, Navy SEALs, force recons, like some NCIS. There's all kinds of stuff. It's like this big combined arms thing called... I think the MU is part of, not an ARG, ESG maybe. It's got an attack sub to protect us from subs. We got anti-submarine capabilities. We got a cruiser with anti-air. We have a destroyer, which is the cannon, floating cannons, just one or two, but it's enough. It's like this, it's crazy. It's a 10-inch or bigger diameter cannon that shoots like a machine gun, like boom, 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 boom. So yeah, it's like the equivalent of like three or four companies of regular artillery. Anyway, two other amphibious carriers, and that's it. I can remember. All right, so Anyway, we're floating around, and obviously what we want to really do is get into Iraq, because you need those combat deployments, especially if you're field grade and you're competing with other guys who have combat deployments. You have to have it, otherwise you're non-competitive for promotion. And remember, the most important thing to a Marine Corps officer is a promotion. It's his career. It's getting the most you can get from your, retirement. That's the goal. That's how you make money at this game. You make money in the military by making it so long. I mean, they make decent money anyway. Like, by the time you're a lieutenant colonel, aviation is like 150K. You're one percenter. You then get a third of that for the rest of your life or whatever it is. That's like $1 million or something if you live to be 65. So it's a lot of money. That's how you make your money, though. You need to be the highest rank you can when you retire. That's the goal. So 30%. And then what a lot of these guys do is they'll make that like their entire... They'll get a mortgage for that amount. And they get another job to do everything else. That's the plan. So these guys are really worried about this. Really important to them. Whereas to me, I was sort of like, well, I joined to punch someone in the face, so I'm ready to punch someone in the face. But if this ends up being floating around and getting drunk at random seaports, I can do that too, because I like doing that. So we get to southeast Iraq in an area around the city of Basra. If you want to go ahead and Google map that, there's a section of southeast Iraq where it borders Iran that looks like the surface of the moon from the Iran-Iraq war, that there's just craters everywhere. There's hulks of vehicles. It's like a vehicle graveyard desert. It's really weird. It's really interesting and different. That area on a map looks tiny. It is tiny. You could walk it in no time, except for the water. You'd have to swim part of it. It's the Tigris Euphrates ends, like that delta is right there. There's Basra. At the time in 2005, when the rest of Iraq's on fire, the British zone is actually doing pretty well. The British are much more experienced at the time, at least, in doing like what's called COIN, MUTWA, which is like military operations other than war, counterinsurgencies. They've been dealing with that stuff pretty much forever because of Ireland. So all the troubles, IRA, all that, that's all counterinsurgency. India, kind of the same thing with those counterinsurgency operations being done going back to the 1800s. The U.S. really hasn't done that much of that. The Marine Corps has fought a series of small wars called the Banana Wars. They're called that because they're in support of a fruit company. Yeah. In like Nicaragua, Guatemala, Dominican Republic, Honduras, I don't know, other places in South and Central America. So the Marine Corps has done this, and they were always like an expeditionary force, and it has more of that. But after Belleau Wood in 1918, it starts to form into like more of like a standard army type stuff. And a lot of the attitude of the Marines is it's very aggressive. It's a very aggressive attitude. Remember, Hueys, we do windows. You want me to fly you around, sir? Yes, sir. Oh, you want me to go pick up your friends in Baghdad? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I need you to do aerial fueling. Well, sir, we can't. But you know what we can do, sir? I will call someone for... And this isn't to show this like that we're punk. It's that we can and will do what you need, right? We're providing a service. Because we're actually combat service support. Now, we're combat arms in the sense that we fought, we pulled triggers, we got shot at directly. It wasn't by accident, like some Motor T guy that's like, oh no, I'm in a fight now. Ah. No, we sought it out. And we did attack as part of our mission, but we had multiple missions. And when we went to Southeast Iraq, RMU desperately wanted to get into the fight. Now, before we had left, there was a lot of talk about going straight into Afghanistan. Pink Sheet, I know that's what you did. They were thinking about doing that with us, and they changed their minds because they were worried about having to need us in Iraq, and we had already been told, like, hey, stand by for maximum extension, which I think is like 9 months or something. Well, what's going to happen is we're going to do all that shaking hands, kissing babies through the Mediterranean, and we're going to do some, like, stuff with the Israelis, and then we'll fix up the ships, and then we're going to park them in southeast Iraq, and then they're going to bring us in to reinforce the British or... to reinforce forces further north. Well, we get there, and it's this big hullabaloo about what are you going to do with them, and the general in charge of the area decides that instead of just sending us in, which is what often happens, they're just going to hold us in reserve and allows for... So we had to do all this training to because we hadn't had, there's this desert training you have to do. So we did it. We spent a few weeks in Kuwait and now we're ready to go. And everybody wants to get in the fight. For one, this career reason. And secondly, myself included in this, dude, this is what we do. I want to go punch someone in the face. For real. Dude, I know how to shoot this gun. Let me go blast some dudes. I want to blast a rocket into some guy. I wasn't very scared of that. I wasn't. At the time, though, I really, really tried to be like, no, you know, it's cool. We got to just, you know, just chill. But inside, I was like, no. Because I didn't want to be weird. Because some of these guys came off really weird. They wanted it so bad. It was so obvious. They came off as like either psycho when they're not, which is like, what? Or like weird. And the ground guys had this. So it's been decided. You're going to be backup. Nobody wants to be backup. They want to be the man in the chair. They want to be the dude that does the do. Who wants to be like held in reserve? It's basically you're on the bench, bro. We don't want that. I don't blame him. I don't want that. You want to be on the bench? I don't want to be on the bench. So what ends up happening is we go in and I mean, it was so, our leadership was so transparent that there were Marines making like comics, making fun of them. Like, we used to call these deployments the sandbox. And there was like a comic of the MU commander, the XO of the MU, and I think it was like the operations officer trying to play in a sandbox. And the general that was in charge saying, no, 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 you can't. And they were really upset about it. So, hey, they're like, hey, but you know what? We're going to keep you out here on the ship so we can move you wherever we want. But there's a bunch of missions for you guys to do. And they started for aviation side. And we were like, we do windows. So we did a bunch of reconnaissance stuff, right? I can't actually really talk about it. I could tell you, but then I'd get in trouble. Basically, we were taking pictures, reconnaissance video. I did, however, I can talk about this. We saw an alien, like... It was, for those of you understand, it was just on the FLIR, and it was this ball of heat moving around in kind of the sky and then staying stationary and then disappearing. What? Oh, ball lightning. I don't, whatever. Anyway, but the general said you can't come inland, but what you can do is you can go help the English if they want it. And the English were like, yeah, make our life easier. Come on board. They broke us up into like, the English didn't want to use this as a combined arms force. They're like, hey, infantry guys, talk to infantry guys. We'll get the tanks over here. We'll put, and the Hueys specifically, my thing, were doing one mission. The Cobras were doing a separate mission. The 53s did go inland to do something with Italian troops, and 46s did another thing, and so on and so forth. And So they went in, and the infantry guys, I remember them talking about this in the mess hall, and they were like, we're going to go in, we're going to kick down doors, we're going to like, dude, they were aggressive, they were talking about how they were going to show the British all this aggression, they were going to like, we're going to like, kick door down doors and take names, but here's the thing, Southeast Iraq, that's Shiite, okay, Saddam Hussein was Sunni, the Shiites didn't like Saddam, they weren't as down with the insurgency, now they weren't like, oh yeah, cool, we like you here. But at the same time, they were like, they weren't as aggro. In fact, they were actually they did not like the Sunnis. That's an inner war right there. So, or sectarian. So anyway, everything's peaceful, more or less. But you got to patrol. Like, you got to have a presence. And then the Marines were like, hey man, we can take some of your patrols. And initially the British were like, yeah, dude, absolutely. I get to sleep, come on board. And then the Marines start presenting. We're like, we're going to kick names. We're like, go in, we're going to get some, woo! And the British are like, no, mate, I don't think that's how it works. I don't know what I know that that's what the infantry guys were saying, and I know what the Cobras were saying. They were kind of told, like, no, thank you. And the Cobras ended up doing a lot of, and we did some of this too, it's like maritime missions, which means over the water. But we were like, we went to the British as a Huey community, and we do windows. And I remember the lieutenant colonel saying, like, look, tone it down. Don't come in here talking about how you're going to just blow crap up and blah, blah, blah. This is what we're going to do. We went there and we said, how can we help? What can we do to make your life easier? Not, hey, here's what we're going to do if you let me come in. And then all of a sudden, if you think about it from the British perspective, if you got these crazy Marines who have a a reputation for this. It's not bad. If you need a psycho to kick someone's teeth in, that's the guy. And a lot of times in war, that's the answer. But that wasn't what was required here. And they really amplified that. And a lot of this we got from the pilots we talked. So we were sent over to a unit of Lynxes and Merlins, which are a medium lift helicopter, a reconnaissance utility helicopter. Like, Lynx actually looks like a huge. And when we talked to them, it was very much like their mission was very similar to our own. Their problems were they had low on power and the heat was messing with them. So we're like, what can we do? And they were like, hey man, we got a bunch of really boring reconnaissance missions we hate doing. It's not going to really require air ground integration. You're just going to check in with a whatever they call their facts. Can't even remember. The guy's going to send you up somewhere. And you're going to look for these certain things, and then you're going to fly back, and that's that. Any other, like, as far as, like, because we were like, here's our capabilities. We can do troops in contact. We got attack capabilities. Like, no, you need to be armed, but let's chill out. So we end up getting a lot of missions, because not only are we doing a bunch of reconnaissance stuff, like deep reconnaissance stuff, like maritime and otherwise for our own, but we would, the way we would work it is we'd fly one sortie in, do our recon. We'd get there, get the mission from the Brits, fly that sortie out, maybe do some more work for our guys. And we were able to just churn. We were just flying every day. We'd fly from the ship into Basra International Airport where these guys were. We do our mission. It was always quiet, always simple. We gave them what they wanted. They were happy. They would give us these their box lunches, which were better. You know, it was better than ours because it was different. Sausage roll, Lion Bar, which is like a Snickers, I think, but sold in England. It was interesting. They were far less politically correct than we were. Like, they had nudie posters. Like, there were just posters of naked girls all over the place in their squadron spaces. I doubt it's still like that. That was 2005. But we definitely did not do that. Their rules were far laxer. And what I mean by that, their aviation rules. Where we had like a 10-hour or 12-hour day, they would have like an 18 or 14-hour day. I mean, day or night. Obviously, there's like never 18 hours of daylight. So I don't know how that worked. But you get the idea, sort of like... But they let us in because we did window. We just, you know, it was such a difference between aggressive sort of silliness, caricature yourself, and just going in and saying, like, what can we do to help? They might have said, hey, man, we are just getting blasted. We need you to go in and saturate an area. We need you to, like, basically do deep interdiction with your rockets and just flatten the village. They're going to shoot back big. Or they might have said, like, hey, man, our CAS abilities have been so degraded that our guys are in trouble, and we could have been flying CAS missions every based on what you said. We said, but like I said, they just gave us the stuff they didn't want, which, again, boring. It was just flying around, looking at stuff, coming back with pictures and video and telling them, hey, 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 or barely integrating with any ground forces, because some of these places they were so quiet that they would just send the helos on patrol. Like, and then the foot patrols were not, they just weren't as, you know, whereas in Iraq, it wasn't like that. I mean, that was also Iraq. Where we were, even in 2007, there was a lot of foot patrols, a lot of vehicle patrols, a lot of checkpoints and stuff like that. It just wasn't quite the case. It was still there. And again, they were sending us to the quieter areas that they still had to keep an eye on. But we got a mission. You know, some of the other communities, whether, you know, the battalion, the ground guys were just pissed. They got stuck. They were sitting on a boat. And they were going nuts. And we were coming in, like, exhausted looking. They were going, like, well, we're running two missions a day, every day. Like, 4 hours of flight every day. Just, you know, 4 to 6 hours of flying. Sometimes we're flying three, well, it's like, yeah, like three sorties, one sortie being 1.5 or more. Yeah, we'd fly like 6 hours a day sometimes, or close to it. And it just, we do windows. You know, and it's like, I want to take some pride in my Huey community. Cause we got to go play. The 53s got to go play. I don't know how they did it. So I think it might have just been like, hey man, we need the heavy lift. Whereas for us, it was an attitudinal thing that I think is a great attitude to have. You do what you got to do. You know, don't let it be beneath you. Just get the thing done. And I didn't mind, man. I'm flying. And there was nothing else. There was no other option. The only other option was getting, like, stuck on the boat for being... How do I know that the Brit... There's my kids. How do I know this? Because they told us. The British said something, but not a lot. They didn't give a lot of details. They're like, man, because we came in after all of this other stuff had happened. And we were doing our sales pitch to, like, hey, our sales pitch was like, whatever you need, man. You got some boring ass things that need to be done? We'll do it. Does it involve aviation? Like flying? We can't fix your aircraft. But we can go do some missions you don't want to do, or like straining or whatever. And they had stuff for it. Whereas on the ground, the guy, I remember sitting in the, because I used to have insomnia even then. I'd be up, always up for mid-rats. Took around 11, midnight or so. They put out a bunch of food and it stays out all night, basically. I can't remember what time it actually gets brought in. It's like simple stuff. Usually it'll be like leftover burgers, fries, dog, peanut butter jelly sandwiches, whatever. And this other guy was up a lot. It was this major. And sometimes I would just sit there and like hang out. It was like him and a couple of the other ground guys. I was just no one else to hang out with, so I'd hang out. And we just changed those stories. He's like, wow, you guys are like, yeah, man. I'm like, we are busy as all get out. We got a bunch of reconnaissance missions that we're doing. Like, is there any way we can get on? And I'm like, dude, we're taking aerial photographs. And like, no. In fact, you would be a hindrance. I didn't say that, but that's the reality. And then he told us, I was like, well, what happened? You guys were, because there was this big brief about how we were going to have to unload everybody pretty much via aviation. You could do an amphibious landing in the southeast portion of Iraq. However, I think it would actually be super dangerous. There's probably a ton of unexploded ordnance on that area, for one. For two, I think there is a road, actually. But, I mean, it's not that close, Basra. So it was going to be, obviously, tanks and stuff. They're going to, if they wanted to bring those, that would have to be land drop, you know, via water. But I think if we were just going to drop infantry units, it would be aviation. And I think that's the preponderance of these guys going to get to shore via aviation, because I don't know that the Mew had enough mechanized, motorized assets to actually move the infantry in any kind of meaningful way. So if we got a bunch of guys in AAVs, LAVs, and tanks landing on the beach there in southeast Iraq, you'd still have to helicopter dudes, and we might as well just take them to Bob. It's a few miles away. And so we do windows. Thanks for listening. Love you.